The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Hey folks, Bob here with this week's Bubble Genius Showcase item of the week. With Memorial Day coming up, what better way to celebrate than by buying a soldier a shower? Go to Bubble Genius right now and purchase either the Buy a Soldier Soap Set, the FUBAR Massive Military Bath Bar, or the Buy a Soldier a Powder. That's talc-free powder with tea tree oil and zinc oxide for extra absorbency. And Bubble Genius will ship your purchase directly to a soldier stationed overseas. Only $1, $12, or $7 each at BubbleGenius.com. But if you use our promo code Bob and Chez, that's B-O-B-A-N-D-C-H-E-Z, you'll get 15% off your entire order only at BubbleGenius.com. And now let's start the damn show.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
One of the things you talked about last night was the flexibility that the vice presidency has.
Yeah.
What did you mean by that?
That thankfully our founders were wise enough to say we have this position and it's constitutional. Vice president will be able to be not only the position flexible, but it's going to be sort of those other duties as assigned by the president. A simple thing. I don't think that was a gaffe at all.
Making your day a little brighter is quite enough for us.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
It is Thursday, May 5, 2016, and this is the Bob and Chez Show presented by BubbleGenius.com. I'm Bob Seska. That is Chez Pazienza, or as we like to call him, Shay Pazina.
Thanks. Sitting right there.
We are brought to you by BubbleGenius.com, the best goddamn soap ever. Also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen, the best goddamn law firm ever. Get free legal advice from Charles Bowen at thebowenlawgroup.com/Bob and Chez, or just click the link on the podcast page at bobseska.com. Support the show, by the way, at patreon.com/Bob and Chez, also facebook.com/Bob and Chez. All right, so we got to start off basically where we left off on Tuesday. Because as what normally happens every Tuesday during this primary season, we do a show on Tuesday, about Tuesday afternoon, and it's always right before there's a big breaking news story. Happens every time, and of course it happened on Tuesday. Because we had the big Indiana primary, and we said some things on the show on Tuesday, especially coming out of the first break, that... How do I put this, Chez?
We crystalled.
Yeah, we crystalled.
We
Bill crystalled it.
Our punditry was not superior.
No, it was not.
That's one of the, you know what, dude? I got to tell you, that's one of the reasons why I hate, like, talking about, like, what's going to happen in politics.
I know.
Because it's just, you know what? It's William Goldman. Nobody knows nothing.
Nobody knows nothing. And we thought for sure, we were both so certain coming out of the break, there's no way Ted Cruz is going to get out of the race. Ted Cruz going all the way to the convention, that's for fact, no. Yeah. No, it turned out to not be that way. So we're going to do a little something here to fall on our swords. We normally do something like this with guys like Dan Bedondi or Alex Jones or various other cable news people, Sarah Palin for that matter. We're going to play a clip of ourselves being horrendously wrong. This was me and Chez about 20 minutes into the show on Tuesday, just being so phenomenal. Listen to how wrong we are here. It's like they're billing Indiana as kind of Cruz's last stand, though, I don't think so. I think Cruz is in this to the convention. Yeah.
I think so, too.
What are the reasons?
Yeah, no way Cruz is dropping out, because I think that deep down, he genuinely thinks that the Republicans are going to hand him the nomination over Trump. No.
Well, one of the reasons why Ted Cruz is so hated among Republicans is because of just this. Because he refuses to get out, because he does things like nominate a vice presidential running mate before he... Yeah, he refuses to get out. That's right. No, we were really wrong.
Yeah. I mean, that was a huge surprise to me because I genuinely thought that, first of all, that he's delusional.
Right.
And I figured that was going to play into it. And the other thing that I thought was that, you know what? He's the only reason, even if he does nothing, if he doesn't even campaign, doesn't spend money, he needs to keep his name out there so that there's an option for the Republican Party to hand him, you know, hand him the nomination because God knows they don't want to give it to Donald Trump.
Exactly. But I mean, it was so effing annoying because we had just finished the show. I mean, it was like seconds after we finished the show. And then suddenly I'm seeing coming down all over Facebook and social media. It's like, oh, Ted Cruz dropped out. And I'm like, oh, no. Oh, no. No. We really, really did not get that right. And, you know, it's something that he had to do. I mean, he had no choice. There was no way he was going to get the nomination. Here's Ted Cruz's concession speech from Tuesday evening.
I love each and every one of you.
Now he's lying now. He's so wrong. Lying again. Ted Cruz loves Ted Cruz, but he doesn't love everyone.
I love each and every one of you.
No.
From the beginning, I've said that I would continue on.
Just the cadence. I want to punch that in the throat.
Yeah, that's right.
I want to punch the way. I'm going to punch him in the throat just so that he stops talking like that.
We need to play this music under him as he's talking. Let's do that, and then we can bring up. Here's Ted.
As long as there was a viable path to victory. Tonight, I'm sorry to say, it appears that path has been foreclosed.
Foreclosed.
Together. God, he is so in love with the sound of his own voice.
He really, really is.
Did you read the terrific article that Dahlia Lithwick wrote at Slate? Because she apparently was on the college debate circuit with him. And she just describes yet another article about young Ted Cruz that describes what an absolute prick he's always been.
Oh, I'm sure.
Just a driven, arrogant, melodramatic pain in the ass.
Yeah. I mean, the photo that I keep seeing pop up most often on Facebook and Twitter is that picture of him. He looks like he's about 19 years old and he's standing in front of, I don't know, some sort of whiteboard with the names of candidates, presidential candidates on there. And then he's got a big beefy cigar between his teeny tiny baby teeth. Just like looking juddy and arrogant and just again, like you just want to sink your fist into his cheekbone and feel it crush under your knuckles.
But you know what? I did read one. I did read one article, though, that that said that one of the reasons why he's getting out the way that that he is, the reason that he left, is so that he can kind of preserve himself for, of course, 4 years from now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
When he plans to run again, because he'll be really, really damaged goods if he just continues to get whipped and whipped and whipped.
He's always going to run for president. I mean, see, here's me. I'm making more predictions that are probably going to be, you know, completely wrong. But I think he's going to run for president every 4 years. I think he's always going to give it a stab.
Yeah, because he's going to be like loser Ron Paul, like Ron Paul who can't even get audiences.
Yeah, that's
right. At least Ron Paul was able to get the youth all riled up because he wanted, you know, legal weed.
Exactly. So I think I put together some sound here. I think this is kind of the summary of Ted Cruz's entire campaign for president. And I think this pretty much encapsulates the entire odyssey.
Wow! Powerful, horrible, petty! Obamacare, hates law, strangles, unleashed, booming, Reagan!
And that right there at the end, that was the that was the sound of Carly Fiorina falling through the trap door. Oh, by the way, speaking of that, we got a new song parody from Rocky Mountain Mike about the end of the Ted Cruz campaign and, of course, Carly Fiorina's swan song, as it were.
Singing, losing after 1 week, that's stinging. One loss before, then you came back for more. Now you're leaving. Oh, my darling.
Drop three times
from the campaign if you want to.
Twice from the polls
when the voters said no. Oh, sweet Jesus. Means your platforming the hallway. Oh, twice you dropped out when the voters said no.
Drop three times
from the campaign if you want to.
Twice from the polls.
All right. Amazing. Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike, for that one. That was so good. So good. All right. So, of course, what that leaves us with is the ultimate beclowning, the final beclowning of the Republican Party. The beclowning of the Republican Party is officially complete here. The clown car empty. And who emerges from it but Donald J. Trump?
Yeah, it's kind of perfect.
The goddamn presumptive nominee for the Republican Party is Donald Trump.
Yeah.
You know what? Donald Trump, as far as Republicans go, Donald Trump is like one step up from like Victoria Jackson. I mean, that's the kind of nutbag the Republicans have decided to nominate for the presidency of the United States. Someone who is just like a scotch less insane than someone like Victoria Jackson or any random Fox News Channel host. He's just like,
oh, exactly.
He's like a step up above Brian Kilmeade.
Yeah.
On the smarts meter.
Yeah, I mean, and that's who he is. He's basically he's a reality TV star, and he's basically a Fox News talking head.
Right. But yet a majority, or technically a plurality. It was a plurality of Republicans. Like the most Republicans voted for Donald Trump in this, in spite of the fact, and I've got a bunch of clips here. We're going to kind of, you know, run through some of the highlights of Trump's candidacy and what got him here and what convinced Republicans en masse to support him and make him the nominee for president. Tell me, I challenge any Republican to tell me whether any of this sounds the slightest bit presidential. I mean, set aside the policy and, you know, we're upset about Obama and we want Fox News Channel, blah, we're angry and all that crap. But the guy himself is simply not presidential material. I mean, we rewind like 4 years. Oh, yeah, we go back 4 years with this to Trump's first dabbling with the idea of running for president, in which he asked Meatloaf, whether he should run for president.
Everybody's saying I should run for president. Let me ask you a question. Meatloaf, should I run for president?
Absolutely.
Yes, so Meatloaf. Meatloaf thinks he should run for president.
Thank God. Maybe he'll be his vice president.
Well, I'm hoping for that.
Trump loaf.
I wrote something for Salon today. It should be up any time now, which I suggested that maybe Trump chooses Meatloaf for his vice president.
Or Gary Busey.
Gary Busey's another one, Ted Nugent.
He should have an apprentice-style reality show for picking his running mate.
Well, you know who's heading up...
Omarosa will win.
You know who's heading up his vice presidential selection committee?
I do know. I do know the answer to that one. Yep.
You know, the last time we heard a prominent Republican... Heard about a prominent Republican... heading up a vice presidential selection committee. He ended up appointing himself for the slot, and that was Dick Cheney back in 2000. But now it's this guy, Ben Carson. So at this rate, Donald Trump will have a vice presidential nominee by 2023.
Hey, Donald, I have a list here of candidates for vice president. Excuse me, vice presidential is what I meant to say. Vice presidential candidates. Here we go. I'm going to start that list right now. And here's the list. Meatloaf. Gary Busey. And Meatloaf. Did I say Meatloaf already?
Like, imagine that Skype call. Like Ben Carson. What do you got for us today, Ben? Who's going to be my vice presidential nominee?
Hello? Is this thing on? I can't see you. Kind of garbled. Does this thing have call waiting?
Ben Carson trying to figure out how to use Skype. So that was that's what's happening on that end. Of course, we have a wide variety of clips here of Donald Trump. We're going to take a break to talk about Harry's razors. And when we come back, we're going to get into Donald Trump, his race for president, the fact that he got the nomination, and how he actually arrived at this place and time. And just all of the awesomeness that gave us the phenomenon that is presumptive presidential nominee Donald Trump. But first, we're going to talk about Harry's razors right here. Yes, I am cleanly shaven today because I shaved right before the show with my silver-handled Harry's razor from Harry's.com. Those of you who have purchased your Harry's razors already, you know this. You're already aware of the quality by now. You have to know it. First, tell all your friends. And if they're undecided, tell them to pull the trigger already. Go to Harry's.com and get the cleanest, closest, and most affordable shaving experiences you've ever, ever had. Do what I and over a million others have done, men and women, by making the switch to shaving products from Harry's.com. Now, imagine getting the same great razors that I use. 3 sweet 5-bladed cartridges, moisturizing shave cream, and much more for just $15 with a money-back satisfaction guarantee. Stand up against overpriced store-bought blades in their protective glass display cases with Harry's razors. And don't forget, ladies, Harry's is perfect for your legs and armpits. Go to Harry's.com, enter the promo code BANDC for Bob and Chez. Get $5 off your first Harry shave. Plus, you'll be supporting the show by taking good care of your face or your legs with Harry's razors. That's HARRYS.com.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Yes, indeed. So the Republicans have nominated Donald Trump. It's going to be Trump versus Hillary. And the fun has just begun. When I was a young boy, it's going to be an exciting, however many months, 5 months here.
Oh, yeah.
Fun, lots of fun. We're setting the Wayback Machine here and listening to some Donald Trump clips. This is how Donald Trump became president. We know for a fact already that Donald Trump at one point was pro-choice, but eventually he became, well, I guess we can only put it as not pro-choice. And he announced in an interview with Chris Matthews not too long ago that he wants to punish women who have abortions.
Do you believe in punishment for abortion? Yes or no? As a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah, there has to be some form.
10 years?
I don't
what?
Know. That I don't know. That well,
why
I don't
not?
Know. I don't
you
know.
You take positions and everything else?
I do take positions and everything else. It's a very complicated position.
All right.
Yeah.
So he said today, he delivered some more word salad on abortion today, which was, it was like, that's one of the reasons why I played the Sarah Palin clip at the top of the show, because this was word salad on par with Sarah Palin. Here's what Donald Trump said to Willie Geist about abortion today. And specifically when he was referencing his interview with Chris Matthews, Donald Trump said he was asking me a theoretical or just a question in theory. And I talked about it only from that standpoint. Of course not. That was done, he said. You know, I guess it was theoretically, but he was asking me a rhetorical question, and I gave an answer. And by the way, people thought from an academic standpoint and asked rhetorically. People said that answer was an unbelievable academic answer. But of course not. And I said that afterwards. Everybody understands that. Of course, yeah. Everybody understands what he just...
Mm-hmm.
Everybody understands what he said. One of my favorite musical moments, and I know it was for you too, Chez, was the appearance of the Freedom Kids on the during a Trump rally. These people.
Oh, those, yeah. Those, did they come back? Or is this,
no,
oh, this
no,
is
this is, this we're just,
this,
but,
this is part of the greatest hits.
Yeah, part of the greatest hits.
Apologies for freedom. I can't handle this.
When
freedom brings,
answer the call.
On your feet, stand up tall.
Freedom's on our shoulders.
USA!
Okay, that's enough.
Poor kids. That's torture.
And then we have our many Donald Trump sound bites here. We've got, Donald Trump loves the poorly educated.
I love the poorly educated.
This is why he's been elected, folks, the poorly educated. He's had so many victories, you're going to get tired of victories, et cetera.
You will have so many victories, they'll be coming out of your ears. You may get tired of them.
And he's going to be really good at the military.
I will be so good at the military, your head will spin.
And then the classic, of course.
We will have so much winning if I get elected that you may get bored with winning.
Mm-hmm. So these are all the reasons why Donald Trump is.
That's his policy right there. Yeah. Those are his policy statements.
Exactly. Yeah. We will be so good at winning, you'll get tired of winning. He's going to be so good at the military, he'll have so many victories, and he loves the poorly educated. That's basically his entire platform right there. I mean, so like, there's no other details. We have no idea what the hell is he going to, because, by the way, he's going to be unpredictable. He's going to have unpredictable foreign policy, I guess, to match his campaign strategy. Jesus Christ. I mean, I have no idea how the hell this all happened, but what's astonishing to me is how surprised people are. Should come as no surprise that Donald Trump is the nominee. This is where everything has been headed. This is where the Republican Party has been leading all of this time. In a few minutes here, we got a clip from Steve Schmidt on MSNBC, who summarizes quite beautifully what exactly is wrong with the conservative movement. And, you know, I'm just going to play it now. The thing is, with Steve Schmidt talking about this, what he completely ignores, though, is the fact that he allowed, as John McCain's chief campaign advisor in 2008, he allowed Sarah Palin to emerge.
Steve, very strong, he going rogue.
So Steve Schmidt is not the innocent bystander he seems to be in this clip. But what he says,
of course not.
But what he says here, of course, is worth listening to. And it's pretty goddamn spot on. Here's Steve Schmidt on MSNBC talking about the fall, actually, of the conservative movement due to talk radio, hate radio.
What's the old John Kennedy quote? When you try to ride the tiger, the problem is sometimes you wind up inside the tiger.
Right.
But this has been building for a long time. We look at the tone in this campaign.
I like the way you know
and
it's
a lot
Kennedy
of
stuff.
And a lot of
it's great for
and
him,
a lot
you know
of,
your
and
stuff.
A lot of and a lot of commentators say they scratch their chins and say, "My God, the tone of this election." Have they not listened to talk radio for 5 minutes in this country that reaches 50 million people a day for a moment in the last 10 years? The tone is disgusting around our political discourse. And Trump has been a reflection of that tone in the steel cage match Republican primary. You look at the intellectual collapse of the conservative movement, the fading of giants like William F. Buckley, you know, the replacement.
Oh, by the way, yeah. Something that we've been saying for forever here on the show. The intellectual collapse of the conservatives.
H.A. Goodman finally took the bait.
Oh, what happened? Finally responded to you on Twitter?
He wrote to me on Twitter. Yeah.
Oh, what did he say? What happened?
He's all, well, you know, reportedly, ha, 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 that's meaningless. Dude, just go f*** yourself.
I mean, he's really
fucking lunatic.
Really way, way, way out of the limb, that guy.
Oh, of course.
I mean, I wonder what he's going to do next. Like, I wonder if anyone, I mean, no one's taking him seriously anymore. But, I mean, going forward, is he still going to get published? When he's got, what, how many dozens and dozens of articles that are completely wrong?
Exactly.
Like, just, I mean, we called it wrong on Ted Cruz, like, minutes before Ted Cruz bowed out. So we're no innocents here when it comes to predictions and forecasting what happens in politics. But this guy basically basks in it.
Yeah, I know.
And so the news today from the FBI, not good for H.A. Goodman. But they're basically done. They're basically done, right? They're basically done with the investigation. They got one more person to interview, and then that's it. And they said, what did they say? They said that that Hillary Clinton didn't knowingly violate any laws. Is that the word?
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, you know, they could be wrong. They could. But I'm doubting it. I'm doubting it very seriously.
Okay, so getting back to Trump here, And Steve, I want to play a little bit more of the Steve Schmidt clip, and because it's so goddamn good. It just, I mean, everything is encapsulated right here in a you know, just like a minute and a half. That's all it needs.
You know, of you know, purveyors of blogs and polemics that, and it's all collapsed.
Well, who won when Trump won? Did Mark Levin win? Michael Savage? He's still in there.
Mark Levin is decrying this tonight. I mean, he's a Series A round investor in the demise of the conservative movement in the Republican Party. He very famously, a woman calls up a show, has the, you know, gall to disagree with Mark Levin, who calls himself the great one, talk about narcissists, about self-aggrandizers. Mark Levin asked, do you have a gun in the house? Go find it and blow your brains out. This is the tone that has emanated from talk radio, and this cancer has spread, and that tone has infected the whole of the party. And so this moment that we've arrived at, where there's been a severability now between issues and conservatism, and the test of who's the conservative in the race is who has the loudest voice of opposition. Yeah. We went from being the small government party but a movement of ideas to being an anti-government party, and when institutions collapse and we no longer propose anything and we no longer stand for anything, we no longer advocate for anything, and we don't turn out intellectually the ideas that can move the country forward, you arrive at this moment.
And there it is. That's entirely it. Of course, then he still didn't take any sort of accountability for elevating Sarah Palin, who was really not the first, because I think Sarah Palin was just kind of a consequence of the Bush years. I think people through George W. Bush had become accustomed to effing nitwits coming from political leaders, at least on the Republican side. And so that paved the way for Sarah Palin, which then paved the way for Donald Trump. But what I have heard is that when Donald Trump was deciding whether to run, he and his top advisors at the time sat down and listened extensively to AM talk radio, Republican conservative talk radio, and basically constructed the tone of their campaign and the tenor of their politics, the ideas behind some of Trump's positions based on what they heard on AM talk radio. That's how influential it is now. And that's what's bred Donald Trump. That's what's made it acceptable to elevate someone like Donald Trump. The fact that the conservative movement, conservatives in the United States, Republican voters have been indoctrinated, have been desensitized to this kind of crap that occupies the entire AM radio dial from end to end. You say, well, AM radio, it's so old school. But you know what? It's people who are 50 plus still listen to AM radio, man. They're brainwashed by it. They listen to it 24 hours a day. They can't get enough of it. You know, it's that and Fox News Channel. It's like the whoopee for the far right. And so why not? If it works for, what did Steve Schmidt say? 50 million listeners to AM talk radio, believing utter nonsense and being adapted to just this venom and acid coming out of their radios. And so when Donald Trump emerges, they're like, oh, well, he's just like, you know, all these talk radio show hosts I listen to 24 hours a day. He's like an extension of Limbaugh and Mark Levin and et cetera, Glenn Beck. And all, well, I mean, Glenn Beck could probably deny that because Glenn Beck hates Donald Trump. But, you know, I mean, he's a product of all of those things. And then you combine the various aspects of social media and Donald Trump's role as a Twitter troll. You can kind of see all the pieces of the puzzle, the different parts of the Voltron nightmare that is Donald Trump. And it's really the centerpiece is AM talk radio. Okay. So moving along here. Now we know, because he's the presumptive nominee.
By the way, you should know that I'm destroying Goodman.
Are you really? Instead of paying attention to the show,
I'm not,
of course.
No. I'm listening to everything we're doing. And, of course, I'm completely engaged with the show. But at the same time, I can multitask. Okay. But at the same time, everything that he says, instead of responding to him, I'm just forwarding it. I'm just retweeting it with my own comments.
Yeah, and that's the best way to do it,
too. It is. And you know what? I don't like doing that. I think that's a cheap thing to do. But in this case, with him, oh, yeah. Yeah, totally.
Well, now, Trump is getting CIA briefings now.
Yeah, so, which is freaking terrifying.
What could possibly go wrong, you know? Yeah.
Like I said today, he's either going to accidentally give away state secrets, or he's going to specifically tell Putin state secrets because Putin compliments his hands.
That's right.
Says something nice about his hands. So.
Well, and you know what? There's a direct connection between Donald Trump and Putin. We're going to talk about that after a break, and a word from Patreon right after this.
Hello, it's Bob to tell you about our Patreon page. You might be asking yourself, what the hell is a Patreon page? It's a website where you can help support our podcast by donating money to the show. You can sign up for $1, $5, $10, or $15 per month, or if you're filthy rich, you can sign up for more. In exchange, we'll bring you exclusive Patreon-only content like our post-mortem shows, memberships to the After Party, and commercial-free, unbleeped versions of our free show. And if we reach our crowdfunding goal, we'll bring you new shows every weekday. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez, or click the Patreon link at bobseska.com. Let's do this thing.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
And the second half of today's show is brought to you by the BobSeska.com Amazon link. If you shop at Amazon, enter the site using our link. It's just beneath the logo at BobSeska.com. And we get a small commission from everything you buy at Amazon.com. It costs you nothing, and it helps support the show. So thank you for doing that. And moving along here. All right. So Donald Trump getting CIA briefings. I like to think that he at least has the discipline to keep that crap to himself and not blurt it out on the campaign.
I'm glad you'd like to think that.
I'd like to think that, but I can't, because I know he's at any moment now, he's going to blurt out something about ISIS or Putin or something. At least
because let me tell you why. In case you don't, and I'm sure you figured this out already, because it's very important at all times. It's very, very important.
Very, very.
You got to throw that in. It's really important. I'm not even going to say very, for him to constantly know things that other people don't know. And you have to know that. He has to tell you that. He has to tell you that he's smarter than everyone else, that he knows things everybody else doesn't. Yeah. So what he'll do is he'll drop hints. I can't talk about it, but I know that we're almost ready to crush ISIS.
Exactly right. I say, I'm going to be so good at CIA briefings, your dick is going to explode.
I will be so good at the military, your head will spin.
Yeah, I'll be so good at the CIA.
I'll be so good at the CIA.
You can't speak in regular English.
Right. He's getting CIA briefings. And that, I mean, on one hand, as we said, it's going to be a problem in terms of Trump's penchant for blurting things out. On the other hand, Trump's senior advisor is a guy named Paul Manafort. Paul Manafort's been running the Trump campaign for some time now. But prior to that, Paul Manafort had a very specific job, not in the United States. Paul Manafort was a senior advisor to Ukrainian President Viktor Yanukovych, the Ukrainian leader who was closely allied with Vladimir Putin.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is Donald Trump's right-hand man, Paul Manafort. Do you think that guy is going to be that guy could end up being Donald Trump's chief of staff? So Paul Manafort's in on all of these secrets. Paul Manafort, who again advising the pro-Putin Ukrainian leader during one of the most harrowing events in Ukrainian history. This is the guy who's Trump's right-hand man, and now Trump is getting classified CIA briefings. You'd think they could make an exception. But of course, you know, the Obama administration is doing what it has to do, what it's traditionally bound to do, which is to prepare for giving Donald Trump CIA briefings. You know, if it was the opposite, if it was completely opposite. You think Donald Trump would be giving Obama CIA briefings? Do you think any Republican would give Obama or Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders, for that matter, CIA briefings? Not a chance. They don't give a shit about that kind of stuff. They don't give a shit about political tradition and things that need to be done for the continuity of government. They're out on a limb. They're doing their own thing. And so, yeah, if the tables were turned, there's no effing way Democrats would be getting CIA briefings from a Republican. Not now. Not anymore. It's one of millions of different dangers in the Republicans eventually, especially a Republican like Donald Trump, elevating to the presidency. Just a million different things. And of course, his true believers will stick with him to the very end. And one of those true believers is our good friend Alex Jones.
Oh, yeah, of course.
We will I have an audio clip. Alex Jones did a spontaneous monologue on video right after Ted Cruz dropped out and Donald Trump became the presumptive nominee. And in it, Alex Jones said that George Will, popular conservative intellectual columnist George Will, and bow tie wearer, by the way, should blow his brains out with a 357 Magnum. Alex Jones said this. Trump ally Alex Jones. That's good people. All right, we're going to take one last break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about Jones and a bunch of other stuff, Hillary, and so forth right after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
This is the Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Yes, it is. Welcome back to our Thursday show.
I steal some weed.
I didn't say it at the top of the show, but everyone knows it's Cinco de Mayo. Yes. And Donald Trump, because he's such a good guy, always wanting to participate in every national holiday in the most appropriate way possible, tweeted out a picture of himself eating a taco bowl.
A taco salad.
Taco salad.
Called a taco bowl.
Yeah, it's in one of those tortilla bowls. And the message was, "Happy Cinco de Mayo. The best taco bowls are made in Trump Tower Grill. I love Hispanics."
Absolutely.
With an exclamation point.
With an exclamation point, yeah. And with him sitting at his desk.
And by the way, I love how people have already picked apart everything about this picture and what he said. Yeah. First of all, apparently, because he can't say anything without lying, somebody looked into it. They don't serve taco bowls at the Trump Grill. They serve it at this other thing called the Trump Cafe or something like that.
Oh my God. So he didn't even get the name of his restaurant.
The name of his stupid restaurant, right? And somebody went back through Eater in New York City and found a review for that, and basically somebody just said it's like an insult to Mexico.
Yeah,
it's the worst tasting thing you can imagine.
Yeah, I can only imagine what it tastes like, because I'm looking at it here and it just looks like a big bowl of meat. It's just there's nothing. There's it's a big bowl of ground meat with a little bit of cheddar cheese sprinkled on top and then a dollop of sour cream. And yeah,
There's a meme going around now that I've heard a couple people say, and it's a great line, that of course he's eating a taco salad. It's got Mexican food in the middle and then a wall around it.
Yeah. All right. That's good. But, of course, the best response goes to Samantha Bee, who should be hosting the Daily Show, by the way.
Yeah, we were talking about that before the show started today.
Yeah.
Comedy Central has to be kicking itself in the ass.
Oh, my God,
that
totally.
It let her go.
Yep.
She is – her show is terrific. She's terrific. Mm. She's just – she's got, the fire in her belly that Stewart used to have,
yep,
while also obviously doing her own thing. And she's just – she's fantastic. She's exactly what The Daily Show needed, as opposed to Trevor Noah, who's just deadly.
Yeah.
Just freaking deadly. I'm sure he's a very nice guy. Mm-hmm. But that was a horrifically bad choice.
It was a terrible choice. And by the way, speaking of right and wrong, I was right about that from the very beginning with regard to Trevor Noah. Yeah. He just didn't seem like he's got the fire. He doesn't seem like he's got that sort of just I'm fed up I'm sick of all of this animalistic nature to him. There's no edge to Trevor Noah. And the thing that that Jon Stewart had is Jon Stewart had an air of, I don't want to call it meanness, but it was he was a little mean. I think you have to be mean if you're in political comedy.
It was born out of sincerity and earnestness and a desire to see America do better. And that's, you know, one of the things that I wrote about. And again, this is where I was right off the bat, is as soon as he said he was quitting, the very first thing I thought, and I wrote a piece about it, was he's leaving because he's burned out.
Yeah, that's
because
right.
Fox News wins. Mm-hmm. You know, you can only do that kind of show for so long before you want to put a gun in your mouth.
Yeah.
Because it just keeps getting worse every day. And as somebody like Jon Stewart was, somebody who wants to do something. He doesn't just want to be snarky. Mm-hmm. He wants to make a difference. That had to just kill him, that no matter what he did, the idiots were still there.
Yeah, oh, exactly.
But you need it. Yeah, you're right, though. You need to have that sort of fire that it's just, you know, and there's an argument to be made. I know that Stewart obviously didn't start out that way, that mm-hmm. he got sort of beaten down.
Yeah.
But I think he got beaten down as things got worse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they weren't just bad and he was cool about it. And then finally he wasn't cool about it.
Yeah.
He, you know, things got worse along with him losing his mind and getting really angry about it. And I think we're in the soup right now. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I think whoever they hired had to be somebody who was, this is crazy. You know, like, look, you know what? You got to have your own personality. I don't have Jon Stewart's personality, but somebody who could look at things and just say, this is completely nuts.
Yeah.
And by virtue of who he is, the fact that he's from a foreign country and he kind of, you know, he plays the whole, I look at this from an outsider. Trevor Noah just couldn't do it. He was set up to fail.
Look, he's just too cute and nice for this role.
That's what, true.
The wisdom that always was clear to me with regard to why Trevor Noah was chosen for The Daily Show was because he had kind of a millennial happy vibe about him. And Jon Stewart and Busboy, they thought that this guy would come in and he'd be really popular among millennials because he's got that millennial attitude. But that's not what's demanded by this show. I think you need someone like John Oliver. You need someone like Stephen Colbert. You need someone like Samantha Bee doing this show because they have that bite to them. They have that sharp edge where they're not going to take any from anybody of either side. They're just going to be like unstoppable juggernauts going after whoever it is who's in the news that day. And that's not what Trevor Noah can bring. Now, Trevor Noah does that. I mean, he does it in terms of process, but you don't really buy it coming from him. You don't buy it from the boyish smile that we see on The Daily Show now. It just doesn't work. But with Samantha Bee, here's how Samantha Bee responded to Donald Trump today. She had a picture taken of herself with a taco bowl and giving the thumbs up and a dumb look on her face. And she fires off this message on Facebook, says, "The best taco bowls are made by hardworking immigrants who don't like being called rapists by a rich prick. I love authentic Mexican food." That's the way you do it. That right there will be funnier than anything you'll hear on The Daily Show tonight. And I'm confident in that prediction right there. All right, so Alex Jones, we always like to talk about Alex Jones. Alex Jones is a Trump ally. Alex Jones has been supporting Trump for quite some time now. Because, of course, he does. Donald Trump's a birther. The Republicans have also nominated for president a birther who actually spent his own money to send investigators to Honolulu to find out if Barack Obama was really born there. This is your president. This is your nominee. God, not president yet, but this is your nominee for president, Republicans. Congratulations. You've picked an intellectual midget with fingers to match. So Alex Jones talked about how great it was that Donald Trump was the nominee. He talked about himself a lot, just in this extended video rant from a co-worker's house. Alex Jones was at some staffer's house, grabbed his video camera, started to record this spontaneous monologue about Donald Trump getting the nomination, Ted Cruz dropping out. And at one point, Alex Jones goes to a TV monitor, goes to a computer screen, and finds an article by George Will in the Washington Post, and then just proceeds to rip into George Will to the point of actually saying that George Will should commit suicide.
Yeah.
And yeah, well, here's Alex Jones.
Look at this arrogant piece I've covered so much over the weekend in the last 2 days. The Washington Post, openly run by the CIA, look it up. If Trump is nominated, the GOP...
Wait a minute. See how he wedged that in there?
Mm-hmm.
The Washington Post, which is run by the CIA, look it up.
What? No, no.
That's. I mean, this is. This is one of those things that really bothers me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm you know, again, I'm sort of having it out with not anymore. He's not talking to me anymore. But a little while ago, I was having it out with Goodman.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I got a bunch of tweets from him. One of them was like, you know, his sources are telling him that Hillary's going to be indicted, and I'm like, you're a fucking nobody. You're a laughing stock. You yeah, know, that's right. CNN's sources. One of the largest news organizations in the world versus the quote-unquote sources of a crazy person.
That's right.
Of a fucking nobody.
Yeah.
And what bothers me, what reminds me, that you know, the parallel I'll draw to Alex Jones is that – and this is something that we've had to address. I know you and I have had to address, and we've talked about it. I think we talked about it one time at Banter when we did the mailbag.
Oh, yeah,
where
yeah,
somebody
yeah, yeah.
wrote in and said, how do you know who to trust? Mm-hmm. And that's a real problem now.
It's a super problem.
Alex Jones or H.A. Goodman are not the same. I know people don't like the establishment, but they're not the fucking same as CNN
right.
or ABC or the New York Times
yeah.
where they have – systems in place to vet information mm-hmm. and stuff may get through once in a while that's false, but man, they bend over backwards to correct it.
Yeah. And that's the difference. They're trying to be accurate and right. they F it up sometimes, but yeah.
And then you got people who listen to Alex Jones, like Dan Bidondi, who thinks that Alex Jones is telling the, you know, he even uses the word truth in his stupid podcast. That's the truth. The truth is that the CIA owns the Washington Post, which is bat crazy.
It is. It's totally
at
crazy.
At face value, that is self-evidently insane.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no evidence whatsoever that the CIA has anything whatsoever to do with the Washington Post. This is something that Paul Joseph Watson or Wolfgang Halbig yanked out of his butt. Yeah. And Alex Jones thinks is real. That the Washington Post is colluding with the CIA. He's got the documents. I totally got the documents. Washington Post and the CIA. They're in cahoots. Look it up. Okay, sure.
We must keep him out of the White House. They say just put Hillary in. George Will, the good boy. Like a Ted Bundy. Cute little haircut. Trustworthy. Classic serial killer look. He's not killing individual women probably in basements, but he's killing the Constitution Bill of Rights. All meant to look credible. And he goes on to say something really incredible here.
Okay, here's how I envision Alex Jones and whoever he was with. He was at someone else's house on the night of the Indiana primary when he recorded this video. I'm thinking a mountain of cocaine, like Scarface-sized mountain of cocaine on the coffee table. And they're both, whoever it is, Alex Jones and a bunch of them, maybe it's Wolfgang Halbig with them. I don't know. Dan Bidondi's there.
Yeah.
They're all chilling out. They've got Corona beers and they've got a big mountain of cocaine and they're just sucking it down like Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
And then Alex Jones says, hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm high as a kite. I'm going to be up for 3 nights in a row. I'm going to start recording a video. It's where's Periscope? Dan Bidondi, get over here with your video camera.
Okay, here I come. I'm going to press record on this thing.
Yeah, Dan, you got to press record first.
I always forget that part.
Now, yeah, press the little red button on there. Are you rolling?
I don't know.
You better get rolling, because I'm high as a kite. I'm ready to start monologuing here.
Okay, here we go. I'm recording. There's a shoot now. Should I shoot now?
Well, don't shoot me, Dan. What you want to do is videotape me.
I don't know. There's no tape on this.
It's like, first of all, it takes him like 3 hours to get the whole videotape recording process organized. And then they start recording, and he just goes off and off. Listen to how coked up he sounds here.
Where he talks about how we've just got to basically ignore the people. He says, a convention, right here, a convention's sovereign duty. He's saying the party, unelected, is royal. A convention's sovereign duty is to choose a plausible nominee who has a reasonable chance to win, not to passively affirm.
By the way, this is Alex Jones. This is his shape-shifting lizard person from outer space voice. Whenever he does the shape-shifting lizard people from outer space, this is the voice. He did a whole show where he was wearing a lizard mask with a top hat, and he was talking like this for the whole show as a lizard person.
The will of a mere plurality, that means the majority of voters. Oh, yes, we don't affirm the will of a mere voter.
Oh, God, make it stop. Like you know, no, I get it. I'm not saying we shouldn't listen to this, but just, God, somebody just shut him the hell up. What a goddamn lunatic.
He is really insane. He's certified. Well, I mean, he may not be insane. He's just, like, doing a lot of cocaine.
Yeah, it does sound that way, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does.
Episodically. Oh, it's done over and over again, like groundhogs coming out in a protected process. The total arrogance with a eating grin of a pseudo-intellectual constitutional rapist. This man is literally mounting America, raping it.
Yeah, he's literally mounting America and raping. George Will has his pants around his ankles. He's off on the eastern shore somewhere. He's dug a hole in the sand like Joaquin Phoenix in The Master, and he's raping the United States, literally.
Literally. I finally saw that movie, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
Finally.
Yeah. Did you like it or did you hate it?
It's an acting tour de force.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just bravura performances.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fascinating movie. It's a really fascinating movie. I like the sort of oddball direction that P.T. Anderson went off in.
Yeah, very strange.
Boogie Nights.
Very strange movie. I don't know whether I liked it or not. I'm going to have to watch it again.
That's
actually a
very fair thing to say. I thought the same thing, but it stayed with me, and that's always a good sign.
It's very difficult to watch. But, you know, it doesn't matter because George Will is literally raping America. Literally.
Literally.
Literally. Literally.
Right. In the ass and telling a sucker to yes.
Yeah, not.
I'm sorry, we missed that. No. We missed the Alex Jones anal porn.
Yeah, Alex Jones says George Will is raping America in the ass. Evidently, the United States has an ass.
I guess.
I don't know, I'd like to be able to find. Literally.
Dude, trust me, it's Newark.
Literally.
United States has a rectal sphincter, and George Will's little penis is inside of it right now. Literally.
Literally. This man is literally mounting America, raping it in the ass and telling us how great he is. I mean, George Will, you are a discredited fop. Put down your thesaurus, look in the mirror, realize you're a traitor, and do the right thing, and put a .357 Magnum to your head and blow what's little left of your brains out all over yourself, okay? You traitor, you Benedict Arnold, you piece of filth. Now let's continue. I'm sorry, I'm just being totally real, folks. The gloves are off, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
Let's continue, right? Oh, you want the real Alex Jones? You Benedict Arnolds, we're coming for you.
When you consider who his audience is, mm-hmm. tell me how completely irresponsible that is and how terrifying it is.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, they actually took the video down.
His audience is nuts. His audience are a bunch of gun-toting fucking conspiracy theorist crazies.
Yeah, I mean, the reason...
And he's calling him a traitor and saying he should blow his brains out.
Yeah, I mean, they thought it was... Even Alex Jones thought it was offensive that he said that because he took the goddamn video down. It's like, oh, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't have said that. I was reading off the cue cards prepared by Dan Bedondi.
I didn't mean to say it. You really do it literally.
But you kind of did. You made me say on the cue cards it said literally. Literally... George Will ought to rape the United States in the bunghole.
Literally.
And and then he must blow his brains out with a .357 Magnum.
Because we're coming for him. We're coming for you, Benedict Arnold.
That's right. That's right. I mean, you got to remember who Alex Jones' audience is. Alex Jones' audience are the most paranoid people in the United States. And
they're armed to the teeth.
And they're armed to the teeth. And they're, you know... At large. Sleep tight. Meanwhile, Donald Trump's getting classified CIA briefings. We are so screwed. Exactly. We're putting two and two together here. We got Alex Jones telling his fanboys to go out. Well, not literally. Literally saying this, but...
Literally.
He's saying that George Will ought to blow his brains out. Like, George Will ought to be dead, he's saying. The guy he supports for president, Donald Trump, is getting classified CIA briefings and running for president of the United States. As the Republican nominee, we're so screwed.
Oh, totally.
This is where everything is going. And, again, I hate to ride this hobby horse again. I hate to say the same thing over and over again. thank effing God that the Democrats are still, to some degree, I mean, people like H.A. Goodman aside, the Democrats are still acting like grown-ups. And they have to. They have to continue doing it. They have to remain the same.
It's essential.
Yeah. And it's all going to come down to that convention. That July is going to mean everything for the future of American politics. That Republican convention, which will be first, and then the Democratic convention right after it, it has to be same.
It does.
The postmortem show is next. If not, we'll see you on the after party tomorrow, folks. Bye-bye.